Great, the recording has begun. I will call to order now this November 28, 2023 Thurston County Land Use Hearing Calendar. Thanks for being here today. My name is Sharon Rice and I'm an attorney who works as a hearing examiner on contract with Thurston County and about 13 other cities and counties up and down the I-5 corridor. I have been appointed by Thurston County to provide this service, and this appointment gives me jurisdiction to hear and to decide the two items on today's agenda. Here at 10 o'clock, we are considering project number 2022-101-893, which is known as the prior reasonable use exception. It relates to property addressed as 2725 137th Lane Southwest in Tenino. I have some participation instructions and just general information I want to provide to first-time participants and also for the record. Anyone who needs to get my attention today, you can call me Ms. Rice or Examiner Rice. If you have requests on how you should be addressed by us when you testify, when we speak to you, please let us know when you first testify. Today's hearing is being recorded on and conducted on the Zoom platform. The Zoom recording will serve the function of the required audio recording of this hearing. It's required in all land use hearings. And all testimony needs to be audible, so I will ask for your help. Please, when you are not testifying, it works best if you keep your audio muted. That way there's no inadvertent interruption from your background over other people's testimony. And also, please, if you can, silence your phones or anything else in your environment that makes noise that might prevent us from hearing things you have to say. Of course, despite the fact this is a virtual meeting, it is a legal proceeding and the examiner is charged with running an efficient and civil proceeding. So I'm going to remind people that just like at an in-person hearing, if we have any interruptions, if they appear to be inadvertent, I will first ask the person whose sound appears to be the issue to take care of it. Then I will enlist Ms. Katie's help. And if in the unlikely event we ever have any apparently intentional interference with the meeting, and the interfering individuals can be removed. So just keep that in mind. The Washington State Appearance of Fairness statute applies to land use hearings. And so I'm going to let you know the following things. As I said, I work on contract for Thurston County and several other governments. I am not a Thurston County employee. In addition to that, I don't own and I don't have friends or family who own any property in the immediate vicinity or anywhere too close to the subject property. And I have not had conversations with anybody, not applicants, not staff, and not members of the public regarding the merits of the proposal. And because all of those facts are true, I'm capable of issuing an impartial decision in this request for reasonable use exception. Please keep in mind that the examiner is also charged with reviewing the evidence in the record as a whole, to determine whether on balance the evidence succeeds in demonstrating compliance with criteria for approval or whether it fails to demonstrate compliance with criteria for approval. It is that one question that we will be looking at, or that I will be looking at, as the findings are drafted. So information that tends to show compliance or tends to show not lack of compliance would be the most relevant information for the record. And I just want people to keep that in mind. In terms of the burden of proof, it is on the applicant. In any land use development proposal, the applicant is the party who has the burden of proof, which is a legal term that means it's the applicant's job to provide evidence that does demonstrate compliance with the criteria for approval. However, in Thurston County, we do hear from staff first. They tend to be more familiar with the code and also with the hearing process. So I will hear testimony from staff and I have questions queued up for staff. After that, we'll hear applicant presentation, and you can, in the applicant presentation, you can respond to, add to, or challenge anything the county staff has said in their presentation, and then also answer the questions I have queued up for the applicants. And after that, I will go for public comment. I will ask Ms. Katie to please help me determine whether there is anybody in the meeting who would like to provide public comment on the application. And if there is, we will hear public comments and then have responses. This will be first from staff and last from the applicant, because as the party with the burden, the applicant gets the last say in today's proceedings. And at that point, I will close the record except for specifically identified items. In the course of testimony, if anything comes up that any party thinks needs to be added to the record, and if I agree it needs to be added to the record, but we don't have it today, I will specifically hold the record open for such items. In addition, because virtual hearings present participation problems, barriers that differ from those of an in-person hearing, I do allow the record to stay open briefly after the hearing in case there is public comment from somebody who tried to participate but was unable to because they had technology problems. So the record will be held open briefly for post-hearing written public comment, and should there be any, staff and applicants will both be requested to respond in writing for the record also. This will create a post-hearing schedule, and I will go over the dates that things are due and the dates the decision can be expected to be issued on at the end of this hearing. So you will have it verbally from me today, and at the very end of the hearing, I'll email it to Ms. Katie and she can forward it to the parties and post it online. I think that's pretty much everything, except I will say for the record and remind her that Ms. Katie is deputized to interrupt me and let me know if anything is happening that I am oblivious to and that I need to manage during the hearing. So in this matter before today's hearing, I want to announce the exhibits that were provided to me so that everyone knows what I had a chance to review. As always, there is a staff report from the Community Planning and Economic Development Department. It will be Exhibit 1 for the record. On the last page of Exhibit 1, attachments A through P, as in pumpkin pie, are spelled out in detail on that last page. And so I did have a chance to review Exhibit 1 and attachments A through P. They are admitted for the record. We will number any additional documents as they come in. Last thing to know, as everyone testifies, the first time you speak, I will ask you please to state and spell your name for the recording, and then to give me your job title or let me know how you're related to the case. Then I will ask you to please take an oath to tell the truth. And we are ready now for the county presentation, so let's have the planner do that for us. You're muted, actually.
Hi, my name is Abby Adams, ABBBIE, Adams, ADAMS. I'm an associate planner with Thurston County Planning and Economic Development. I am bringing this project forward on behalf of Sharon.
Great. If I could ask you, Ms. Adams, to please raise your right hand to take the oath. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you, and go ahead.
This project is project number 2022-101-893. It's the prior reasonable use exception. The subject parcel is 1.79 acres and is located at 2725 137th Lane Southwest in Tenino, also known as tax parcel 126-091-30100. The property is located within rural Thurston County in the rural residential resource, one dwelling unit per 5 acres zoning designation. The applicant requests an approval of an RUE and a reasonable use exception to construct an 1,872 square foot single family residence, a 7,018 square feet driveway, a well, septic, and drain field on the subject parcel. The parcel is encumbered by an on-site Category 3 wetland on the eastern portion of the property, which has a standard buffer of 260 feet. A reasonable use exception is required to reduce the buffer from 260 feet to 195 feet beyond what is allowed in code. There is also a Type F stream on the property with a 150-foot buffer that cannot be reduced. The ordinary high water mark has been delineated as shown in Attachment F. There's also an additional wetland, wetland B, which is an off-site wetland that is functionally isolated from the property by a road and does not extend across the road onto the subject property. The proposed residence would be served by a proposed on-site septic system and proposed single-family well. The property is currently undeveloped, but previously contained unpermitted development within the wetland and stream buffers. Existing buffer impacts included the clearing of forest and the installation of 10,506 square feet of gravel of the combined wetland and stream buffer area. 3,311 square feet of bare ground occurred in cleared areas to the buffer where no gravel was installed. and 7,045 square feet of wetland buffer vegetation was impacted on the site portion of wetland A. The stream was excavated into a ditch, eliminating channel diversity and dewatering the wetland. A temporary fifth wheel trailer and three shipping containers for storage had been placed on the property. Since these infractions, a critical area mitigation plan and wetland restoration plan, attachment F, has been completed as of April 1st, 2021, and accepted by the county. The fifth wheel trailer was removed in February 1st of 2021. All gravel was removed on March of 2021. All requested plantings and restoration have been completed, and stream check dams were installed in April of 2021 per the mitigation plan. The wetland and stream has been returned to pre-existing conditions and inspected by the county biologist. Table 6 in the mitigation plan, attachment F, shows a mitigation ratio of 1:1 for all impermanent work on the property. Restoration and mitigation for impacts is shown in Table 5, 6, and 7 in the mitigation report. Chapter 2445 of the Critical Areas Ordinance sets out the process and criteria for any property owner to apply for a reasonable use exception to carry out a land use or activity that is prohibited by Title 24. There are 8 criteria that must be met to approve a use within a critical area or its buffer. The staff report outlines the 8 criteria and includes staff analysis of each criteria. Staff found that the proposal meets the 8 criteria. If the hearing examiner approves the application, staff recommends conditions of approval, which are outlined in the staff report. And that is it.
Okay, great. I had some questions queued up for staff, and I'll start with the criteria, which you just mentioned. The reasonable use exception criteria are spelled out in the staff report. The second one says no reasonable use with less impact to the critical area or buffer is possible. At a minimum, alternatives reviewed shall include change in use, reduction in size of use, change in timing, or revision of project design. I just wondered if I could have any additional staff testimony on why staff feels that criteria has been satisfied by the materials. Basically, is it possible to reduce the intrusion into the wetland buffer, say by narrowing the driveway or anything like that? Did the county consider anything like that?
I'm sorry, I have to take a look at the site plan. I mean, it's possible to reduce it, but I think that he's reduced it as much as he could and as feasible per his proposed use. And has mitigated for his impacts that he's made already.
All right. I also wanted to ask.
He's also pushed his house as far back while also meeting the zoning setbacks. So it's tucked back into that corner.
Okay. So the house, from your department's point of view, the house is as far away from the critical area edges as it can be.
Yeah, while meeting zoning setbacks, yes.
Thank you. So, and just to be clear, the county reviewed that critical area report mitigation plan and finds that the proposed mitigation therein satisfies the requirements to mitigate both for the previous unpermitted impacts to the critical areas and also the future residential use. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. I wonder if we could have any testimony regarding the proposal to disperse stormwater into the wetland buffer. I don't know if that's something you would speak to, or if I don't know if B because it's relating to the critical areas ordinance, or whether Public Works would speak to that, but I'm just curious if there's any testimony the county can offer about the proposal to disperse stormwater into the buffer.
I cannot speak to that at this time.
Mr. Saint, do you have any information regarding the stormwater dispersal? Did you review the proposed stormwater dispersion? Do you have any testimony for us on that?
I did not review it. It was reviewed by our department. The same plan was submitted.
May I, Mr. Saint,
oh, sure.
I am going to take your testimony, so let me swear you in. If you could just introduce yourself for the record.
Sure. Arthur Saint with Thurston County Public Works.
Thank you so much. And do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true, sir?
I do.
Thank you. Please, I'm sorry to interrupt. Please go ahead.
Sure. I did not personally review this. It was reviewed by our department. A very similar plan with basically the same drainage was submitted back in 2021 and was signed off. The dispersion trench, they're showing a dispersion trench. That's mainly for roof runoff. But it would go into the vegetated buffer and provide treatment before it would meet the wetland. So.
All right. And so driveway runoff and runoff from 137th would not enter that trench, that dispersion facility?
No, the trench they have is only for roof drains. The driveway itself would disperse off the edge of the driveway, and that would also go through vegetation before it got to the critical area in that buffer.
Great. Anything else about this project that you have to offer for the record, sir?
Not at this time, no.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Adams, I'm wondering if you could help me understand. I don't know that you drafted it, but in the recommended conditions of approval, recommended condition 3 is confusing to me. It says prior to building permit issuance, orange construction fencing shall be placed 15 feet in front of wetland A. I don't know what that means. Can you help me understand that?
Sharon did draft this, but yes, the construction fencing should be placed 15 feet in front of the wetland buffer, generally speaking, yeah.
So 15 feet in front, that means at the reduced buffer edge, assuming RUE approval is granted and the buffer is reduced to a specific width, then still this fencing is supposed to go 15 feet farther away from the wetland than that?
Correct. There is leniency on that. It can be as close as 4 feet from the reduced wetland buffer, but 15 feet is standard.
Okay. And in this recommended condition, it just says 15 feet. So,
yeah.
So is the county's not recommending that it be reduced beyond 15 feet?
That is what, yeah, Sharon mentioned. Yes. But yeah.
All right. Then the last question I had for the county was, in the record, the applicant submitted a request to end monitoring. It's at the, oh, that's interesting. It's attachment O. Attachment O is a request to end monitoring, and I was just looking for a response from the department to that request.
I believe it's just that he wants to be clear of the violation that was completed. Steve might also be able to provide more information on why he's requested that.
Well, let me also just note, I didn't notice this while I was preparing. I just noticed now in the staff report, the request to end monitoring is identified as attachment P, but when I downloaded it from the website, it says O. So I don't know if I have missed a document. Sorry, I just wanted to note that for the record. And who was it you thought might have additional comments on that?
Steve Pryor is the applicant, and he's here today. Yeah.
Great. Well, I will obviously also ask him to speak to that.
Okay.
But if his request is to, first of all, do you have an understanding as to when all the planting was completed, Ms. Adams?
April 1st.
Of which year?
I'm sorry, 2022.
So there should have been at least one annual monitoring report submitted sometime after April of 23?
I'm not sure.
It's not in the record. So I was going to ask about that, whether there were any monitoring reports submitted.
He submitted in September of 2023, and he had pictures of the growth of the vegetation.
All right. So are you referring to the document that's at attachment O, the request to end the monitoring?
Correct.
So this is the only monitoring report we received?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. And so for the record, the date on that is September 25, 23. So I believe that I don't have it queued up, but I believe that the wetland mitigation plan called for 5-year monitoring. That would be standard. Let me see if I can find that really quick. I'm just, do you know, Ms. Adams, whether it's typical to stop monitoring after 1 year when the approved plan recommended 5 years of monitoring?
I really can't speak to that. It looks like the planting is in good standing, and because it's a wetland and buffer, it looks like it's growing rapidly and is thriving, and he's continued to not disturb the wetland and its buffer. So.
Okay. And then one other question, just one more thought on that. The plan is supposed to address the impacts both of the previous unpermitted actions within the wetland, I'm sorry, within the, actually in the stream, which is in the wetland, and then also in the buffer, but also to mitigate for the impacts of the residential construction, which hasn't happened yet. So would it be typical to stop monitoring before the construction occurs?
Not typically, no.
Just wondering. And does your department have a recommendation for this, for the record of this hearing, as to whether monitoring should be halted based on the applicant's request, or whether it should proceed for a longer period?
I would recommend no, not until the building is completed.
Just wondering. And for Mr. Pryor's, obviously I said I'm going to hear from you on this, Mr. Pryor, but it's just not typical that we, at the time of RUE before construction, we would get a request to stop monitoring, and that's why I'm asking all these questions from the department on that point. I don't think I have other questions for staff. I do have a member of Environmental Health here. Did Environmental Health want to make any testimony in this application?
Not at this time.
Okay, thank you very much for being here in case of questions. Anything else, Ms. Adams, before we hear from the applicants?
Not this time.
Okay, great. Did we lose the applicant's representative, Mr. Halpert? He's for the next matter.
He's the next project.
Great, thank you for that. Okay, then Mr. Pryor, if I could ask you please to unmute yourself, sir, and state and spell your name and allow me to swear you in.
Hi, Steve Pryor, STEVEPRYOR.
Thank you so much, sir. And I'm going to ask you to raise your right hand. Would you please swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Excellent. And then I'm ready to hear whatever testimony you'd like to make, sir.
Okay. In the planting, I went well above the planting. And when I did clear off everything, I turned all the dirt, added compost, and mulch when I added all the plants. They are growing wonderfully. And in the monitoring, if you look at page 26, section 6321, the methodology,
Let me find
at the bottom.
Page 26, 6321. Got it.
Okay, just at the bottom of the paragraph, it says monitoring will be able to evaluate the growth and the establishment conditions and the wildlife usage enhancement area. The objective to meet the criteria be met early date, the applicant may request the end of the monitoring phase early. And I don't believe it can even, it's so far away from the construction area that it won't matter. Also, I will not be building the house. That was my forever home. And I had gotten COVID back when I started this project, and it has totally disabled me. My lung functions are very poor. So I'm going to be selling the property to pay for my medical bills. And so I would need the monitoring. I can't pass that on. I don't think it'd be right. But I believe I've met all criteria with great respect. I believe I've done a wonderful job at restoring it. I've done everything the biologists and the mediation have asked for. And I did it promptly. As soon as the report came out, it's looking great. The other end of the property is where they would be building the house. And I don't believe there'll be any issues near it. It's kind of just living on its own over there, the whole half the property over there. It's really grown great. I was astounded. It turned out really great. Planted over 600 plants and just everything. It's Mother Nature has taken it back over. There's not even a trail in there. I mean, it's solid Mother Nature. And so I would like to ask, please, may I end the monitoring and go on with what I've explained.
Okay, great. I do have, was there other testimony that you wanted to bring, or should I just go through my questions? And then
I guess mine would just be, do you have any other questions for me?
Yeah, I do. I just want to make sure I'm understanding the materials so that when I draft findings, they don't contain factual errors, right? I want to make sure I'm clear on the facts. So if we could just go through a few things. There, I guess the driveway is being treated as existing. When was it built?
Well, the driveway was there pretty much when I got the property. I put more gravel on it and brought it up to where the top is. There was nothing to be removed. It was just some blackberry bushes.
Got it.
And the trees that are...
Sorry.
Pardon me?
When did you buy the property?
2019, November, I believe.
All right. And the driveway, the street access was already there?
Yes, the culvert, the street entrance. I was able to drive up on the property before purchasing it. And then I also went to the county, and that was kind of the... I'm an old contractor, retired. I went down... I've never been to this extreme, but... When I went into the county and had a sit down with what I believed was the office manager, and they pulled all the history up. This is before I purchased it, because I wanted to know if I could build on it and all that. And she had told me about that stream down there and said that there's only water in it about 3 months out of a year, that there is no issues, and that on my side of the road, I had no wetland or buffers. So at the time when I made those infractions, I didn't know I was making an infraction. I believe I had gone to the county, talked to them about it, and found that I had no issues with them. They had no issues with me, excuse me. And so I, you know, did some stuff there. At the time, I was out of a divorce and trying to rebuild my life and just trying to clean up, just trying to grow myself. But I thought I was in compliance with the county before I even put down the gravel because of the meeting I had had with them before I purchased the property. And then afterwards, when they asked for the wetland study, is when all the ghosts came out of the closets that I never knew about, they never knew about. Just our biologists made us everybody aware of it.
Okay.
And I immediately turned everything around, repaired everything, removed everything immediately. I felt I'm through.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't mean to step over you. I just thought you had finished and I'm sorry to interrupt you. Let me ask you, in the critical area study, he mentions that there are slopes on site, but I don't see them on the site plan. Where are there slopes on site?
Well, the house is probably 20 to 30 feet above the creek area. It's a hillside.
Okay.
And like I say, they didn't even think there was a wetland issue up there. There's no water retention. I don't know. It's just a clean area away from everything.
Okay. So I want to ask a couple of questions to help me nail down some specifics about the site plan. And I if you can't answer them, we'll go on. We'll figure out something else. But on the site plan, do you have that with you?
Yeah.
So I have a site plan at attachment D. It's titled revised site plan. And the date on it is October 3rd, 2023.
Yes.
You got that?
I'm looking for it. I have it in my memory. Okay. Very well.
Well, what I'm trying to see is it doesn't actually give me a measurement between the house and the nearest point of the wetland. And that is a number that I always want to know because the narrowest distance between the house and the wetland is what you're requesting the buffer be reduced to.
Right. And do you see the where it was 260, where it's 195, and then it shows the 150?
I do.
That's what I think. Is that what you're asking?
Well, if you look to the left, okay, so look at the 195 line, 195 foot reduced wetland buffer line. That touches the wetland at a place where it's farther away than just to the north, right? So to the north, there at the point that's labeled A2, that's considerably closer to the house. So that would actually be the narrowest point.
I believe that's a deck where it's not covered. So it's not the actual house.
But do you see what I'm saying? The 195 line measures a setback portion of the wetland, not the nearest portion of the wetland.
I'm sorry, I'm looking for it.
Sure. The point that says A2 is what looks like to me the closest edge of the wetland to the residence. I guess I can use the scale on the site plan to try to measure that myself if that number is not known to you.
I'm not actually catching what you're meaning, but I'm trying to find my drawing in all this.
Sure.
I believe we met all restrictions.
I'm just looking for the number, like I said, so that I can have the correct number in the facts and the findings. But again, if that number isn't known to you, I can try to estimate it based on the scale.
Well, if you can for it, yeah, I'll enjoy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So if that number isn't known to you, then I would next like to ask you where the drain field is proposed. Is this October 3rd plan shows the drain field in the extreme southwest corner?
Correct, right below the septic.
Is that correct where that's going to go?
Yes.
Okay. I ask because the critical area report has a figure in it that shows it between the driveway and the house. And I just want to make sure I know where it's supposed to
go. Might have been a farther back history.
Got it. Yeah, that's figure 6 in the critical area report shows the drain field between the driveway and the street. Let me ask you this. Can you just use your, using your own words, just provide a statement as to why the house can't be moved closer to the street or farther from the wetland?
I'm running out of property. It goes up into a triangle there, and I'm being squeezed out. There's not much left to call a home. I'm and I'm also allowed 3,500 square feet in the mitigation plan.
All right.
So that should take care of all that.
Okay. Mr. Pryor, was it you who dredged the stream into a ditch?
Well, I didn't know it. Yeah, I just cleaned what was there. I didn't change the direction or anything like that. I was trying to make it like a little park. And I didn't know I was in violation at the time.
Okay, and can you tell me approximately when that was done?
Well, that would have been in the November of 2019.
Okay.
When I got the property, I was just trying to clean it up a little bit. And make it look beautiful. That's what I was doing. And since then, I have let it all go back, and I've done all the stick dams. Left a lot of sticks and branches they wanted left around, and it's all silted up. And you know, because it was more of a surface stream more than a trench, but it still goes straight across to the culvert through the road. There was never changes in the direction. And now with the silt fences, the dick dams, it's restored itself, and there's a lot of growth.
Okay, great. So before we're done, actually, let's just go there now. Do you have the photographs with you that you submitted in your request to end the monitoring letter?
Yes. On the back page issue, yes.
Yep. I was wondering if you could just tell me what the photographs are showing.
Okay. There's an April 1st, 2022.
Yes.
And that's when I installed the stick dams, cleared all the property, turned it, basically cultivated, put in all the compost and stuff, and then all the replantings in there. It just doesn't show very well. And then on the back side of that page, there's a March of 2023, which shows basically the trench is closing up. It's been filling more of sediment and all the overgrowth of just what's growing. And then it shows August 21st of 2023. It is just swallowed up by just regrowth of everything. All the seeding that was already there naturally, and all the planting I have done, and all the trees are there. That are coming very well. And in the April 21 that's below it, it shows a lower portion of it, which back in 2019, that was all cut down and mowed because I was cleaning up. Now it's all grown back, and all the planting, everything's just taken over again.
Okay.
All trails have pretty much disappeared. And it really growing well. Washington State's really good for that.
Yeah, it usually gets a lot of rain around here. I can't tell from the photos where the camera is aimed, like in what direction and from where they're taken. Can you help me understand?
The March 21st, when you can see my driveway and a wall of all planting growing. It's in the middle of the page.
Yeah.
And if you go back to the front page, that's bare and desolate where I had pre-planted and cultivated for new growth.
Okay.
And all that new growth has came in is which the first picture showed.
Okay.
And it's all from the same angle.
All right. So in the middle picture, I can see the gravel driveway. In the bottom picture, is that a little bit of gravel driveway at the bottom?
It would be if you came back just a little bit further. Okay. Yes, you're right. There is a little bit, I see, yes.
All right. And then in the top picture, I can't tell where on the property that photo is.
That's the same one as the prick of the bottom of the front page.
Okay.
And it's just as all grown and silted in. Yes. They wanted sediment to build up and the plants to grow back. And it has. It's really overcome everything. You know, everything's still there and sturdy, all the stick dams. They're still doing their job, which is the regrowth and the, you know, allowing silt to build up.
Great. On the very first page, the very bottom photograph, on the first page, there's that little wooden structure in the at the very bottom of the photograph.
Those are stick dams. We built 10 of those in the creek. Great. And as you see, they're kind of disappearing in the center, in the top photo of the back page. They're still there, very strong, but the growth has grown around them. The sediment is, they're working, they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Great. Great. So just to clarify, the trees that were planted, the mitigation report called for 39 trees, and in one place it says 39 cedars. But then in the plant list table, it says firs and hemlocks. Can you confirm for me what tree species was planted?
Both. Okay. The cedars, that I think what you just said was a total number.
Yeah.
In the breakdown, it told me how many of each, and that's how many I purchased. And that's how many are growing out there. If you can look at the picture close enough, you can see all the tops of the trees still poking out. But they're growing. All the cedars were put in down the driveway. All the hemlocks and stuff were put in. And drug fir, I think. I forgot. I don't have the list in front of me.
Yes, but, it was drug fir.
Pardon me?
It was drug fir.
Yes, and they were all planted and growing well.
Okay. Has the critical area consultant who drafted the mitigation plan been back to review the site?
My biologist?
Yeah.
No, he's actually more going out of business and very hard to track anymore. I had to have some updates done on the plan, and it was almost impossible trying to get it done. It took me almost a year.
Okay.
I was chasing him for over 2 years. This has been almost 3 years in the project.
Sure.
They seem to take your money to start. Pardon me, but they seem to take your money to start, and they never tell you when they're going to finish, and you have to call and call and call, and it was the worst thing I've ever been through in my life.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've had trouble with contractors, too. I know how that is. I think those were all
paid in full. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying everything's been paid in full. Everything's been completed, and I believed it was all approved, everything. I have respected everything the county has wanted.
All right, sir. I think those were all the factual questions I had queued up for you. Did you have anything else you wanted to let me know based on my questions?
No, I think we pretty much have discussed it all.
Okay. Did you have a chance to look at the recommended conditions in the staff report, and did you have questions about any of those?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. Great. Let me ask Miss Katie to help us find out. Is there anybody here who might be wanting to provide public comment in this matter?
No, we do not have any members of the public today.
All right. Let me go back to county staff. Anything you want to add to the record based on the conversation I had with Mr. Pryor? Anything else from the department, Miss Adams?
Not at this time.
Oh, okay. And no, the other departments neither. Anything, final thoughts or comments, Mr. Pryor, anything else? If no, you can just shake your head. No, okay. Thank you so much, everybody, for your testimony. I'm going to take the staff report, its attachments, and the testimony you've offered today, and they will constitute our complete record, except, as I said, I know we're not expecting any public comment, but I treat all the applications the same, so I am going to hold the record open for 2 days in case there's somebody who really wanted to say something but couldn't participate because they had a technology problem. That means the record is held open through November the 30th for written public comment from folks who had technology problems. If we get no post-hearing written public comment, the record will close on November 30th and the 10-day decision deadline will be December 14th. 10 business day is December 14th. If we do receive post-hearing public comment, I will ask staff to send it to Mr. Pryor as soon as possible. I will ask staff and Mr. Pryor to respond in writing. You have 2 business days to do that. So that means your responses would be due December 4th. The record closes on December 4th and the 10 business day deadline becomes December 18th. So Mr. Pryor, I'm gonna send that schedule to Ms. Katie. She can forward it to you by email so you have it in writing for me. I will also ask that it be posted online so that people can be apprised of their opportunity. With that, we are done with the hearing. I will take this matter under advisement and I look forward to issuing you a timely decision. Thanks very much.